Let us pray. Gracious God, today we consider whether we truly live our lives as though you are our great authority. We ask you to challenge our beliefs about what we do, just as Jesus challenged the religious ones in the temple. Amen. You know, if there had been an inquest into Jesus' death, the parable of the two brothers would probably have been described as one of the things that got him killed. You see, according to the Gospel of Matthew, Jesus told this story during the last week of his life. He told it after he had stolen a donkey to ride into Jerusalem and after he had screamed at the merchants in the temple. Then when he went back to the temple to teach, that's where the chief priests and elders cornered him, just as Maggie Wallace read to us. They wanted to know who gave him the authority to do these things. Who did he think he was? Of course, just like a good rabbi, instead of answering, he responded with a question. "What do you think?" he asked. Then he told that story of the yes and no brothers, I call it. Jesus was never one to give people answers that they needed to come up with on their own. He knew that truth was something that they had to figure out for themselves, for ourselves. So in the story of the yes and no brothers, when the father asked each son to go and work in the vineyard, the no brother said he would not go, but later changed his mind and did go. The yes brother said he would go, but actually did not. "Which brother," asked Jesus of his critics, "did the will of his father?" It's easy. Of course, the first brother, the one who said no at first, actually did the will of his father. It was not what either boy said. It's what they did that mattered. Only, it wasn't that part of the truth that got Jesus killed. It was when he told the chief priest and the elders that they were the yes men. They said all the right things, believed all the right things, stood for all the right things, but would not do the things that God wanted them to do. They said yes to God, and they acted out a great big no. And Jesus suggested that as a result, they might be in for a big surprise. You see, he was saying that people they despised, tax collectors and prostitutes, etc., they were getting into God's kingdom ahead of them. Possibly these despised people actually said no at the beginning, but then they changed their minds and did their duty to God. And speaking of duty to God, so how do we fare in this scenario? Well, apparently it seems that the number one hypocrisy that non-churchgoers aim at us is that we say one thing and we do another thing. We promise to love each other on Sundays, and yet we find a dozen ways to put down, to slander, cheat, or just plain ignore each other on Monday through Saturday. But you know, I actually think it's more subtle than that. I think our hypocrisy really emerges when we say, "I will go, sir," without even tensing a single muscle to get out of our chairs. That's when we're guilty of hypocrisy. And I know 5 or 10 people who believe that they love their families, but actually spend very little time with them. I know another 20 who believe in protecting the environment, but who drive cars or do other things that are extremely hard on the environment. I think I know about 100 people that believe they're against violence, but who can't wait to get home for Game of Thrones or even worse, a program that I hadn't heard of till I started to prepare for this called Stalker, whereby a woman is burned alive within the first 5 minutes of the program. So what does that say about us? Well, maybe you've read Isaac Denison's wonderful book, Out of Africa. In it, she tells the story of a young Kiyuku boy named Kitao. Now, Kitao appeared at her doorway one day to ask if he might come and work for her, and she said yes, and he turned out to be a fine servant. But after only 3 months, he came to her to ask for a letter of recommendation. He wanted to work for Sheikh Ali Ben Salim, a Muslim in Mombasa. Upset at the thought of losing him, she offered to raise Kitao's pay, but he was quite firm about leaving. He explained that he had decided to become either a Christian or a Muslim. His whole purpose in coming to work for her was to observe the ways of Christians up close. And now he would go and live with Sheikh Ali to see how Muslims behaved. Then he would make up his mind. Ah, aghast, Denison wrote, I'm sure even an archbishop would have at least thought, "Good God, Kitao, you could have at least told me ahead of time. I would have behaved better." But you know, God doesn't tell us ahead of time. God's been telling us in our scriptures that there's no shortage of people who say all the right things. But what God is short of is people who will do what God gives them to do, what asks them to do. The theologian Soren Kierkegaard said, Jesus, I love this saying, Jesus wants followers, not admirers. Jesus wants followers, not admirers. So to figure out whether we are a yes or no brother, let's observe ourselves as though we're watching our own life's video all day and all night and every day. And as we watch ourselves, let's ask ourselves, what is moving, our mouth or our feet? Let us pray. Holy and righteous God, may we remember that we are not just admirers of Jesus, we are followers of him. No matter what we say, may we do what you ask us, all in the name of Christ Jesus. Amen.